At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prizm, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's not about James Brown. It's about the Rocky movies.
All night diners keep you waitly.
Thank you, Todd. It's dead lead singers who died in the month of December. Yes, Marv.
Out of all the James Brown songs, this is the song he picked.
Yeah.
He's got about 89 better songs than this.
I know.
Something about that Rocky IV movie when Drago's looking around like, what is this craziness going on? I feel good.
Once again, we will play, is it Marge Simpson or is it Fritzy? We'll have that game for you and the most must-win game of the weekend. By the way, I'm hearing from Cowboy fans. They're like, you don't give us credit. You never give us credit. I want to give you credit, but credit where credit is due. Like, what's the accomplishment? You beat Seattle, barely, a team that's 6-6. The next four games, you go 3-1 or 4-0, you're going to get all the credit you deserve, and then some, and even more than you deserve. Dak has played well. Defense concerned me a little bit there. Although Seattle's wide receiving core is pretty dangerous, and they took advantage of the Cowboys last night. Dak played well. Absolutely. They got four games coming up. We're going to find out exactly who they are. But even then, I'm still going to wait till January because I've seen them melt down right before our very eyes. Sean Salisbury, former NFL USC quarterback, host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Always good to see you, buddy. Let me start with the Cowboys. Okay, how much credit do the Cowboys deserve right now?
Well, Dan, I know what meltdown looks like. I've created a few of those in my life. Much to the chagrin of coaches and players on the sideline. Where they are right now, I think last night, it's a win. You'll take them. They're hard to come by, old cliche. I'm with you and listening to what you were talking about, Dan. Too many big plays, and they didn't hit the quarterback enough last night, but their defense we've seen in the past is capable of that disruption in the backfield. They're going to need that, and you're right. It's for the Cowboys, it's three phases for me, Dan, up until December. Then what am I going to see in December? And then are you a January or February team? Because they've proven to us they're a December-January team without the playoff guts or whatever to get to February. Now, do I believe Prescott's in the MVP talk? Yes, and should. Am I concerned about having you give up 30-plus points in a game to in December or January, you're going to lose. That's not going to happen on a continuous basis. I trust that they're better. But, Dan, no matter what, I don't care if they run through 4-0 in December because I give the Cowboys a lot of credit as well, and I think they are not only formidable but dangerous. and there's feels like there's a different energy about them right now. But come see me in January, because no matter what happens now, home field advantage, not home field advantage, they still got to prove to me that their stones are dangling in January. And if they do that, it's they will be talking different. They'll get all the credit because everybody wants to talk about America's team. But there's still much to prove, because I know a lot of guys who can get to January. Only a couple get to February, at least at that position, over the last handful of years.
Dangling Stones. Man, one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh dude. Them and, Creed, Dangling Stones.
Thursday night football, standalone game, and a lot of penalties here. We say this, often. You can call a penalty on every play. You don't have to call a penalty on every play, but how do we get through this? How do we sort of find a happy medium where we want the calls to be right, but we don't want you to be right all the time in making these calls? It slows down the flow of the game, certainly at the end of the first half. That took forever.
It does, and Dan, but let me ask you this, and again, in this conversation. Okay, so if I tell you the game's going to last 6 minutes longer, but the reason why, because three plays in the game, they're going to spend a little extra time. Would you be willing to sacrifice 6 minutes for the right play?
Yes.
And the right answer?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes.
And see, I subscribe to this. I don't want to give him any more replay flags, the red flags, I mean, to challenge the call. But I don't understand why isn't every call a judgment call? Why can't you review every call? I don't understand. If there's a legal procedure penalty, why can't I review that? If a guy jumped too soon, I'm willing to sacrifice 8 minutes of my life to get it right. How are we have this conversation across the country every year. Too many injuries and too many penalties, yet you're never going to be happy on either side. So for me, I am all for getting it right, even if it takes extra time. The problem is, can the referees, do we need more referees? Not more voices on the field with referees, but more referees who see what maybe a 60-year-old can't keep up with a 25-year-old. I don't know. Yeah. But we are going to have human error as long as AI isn't, you know, refereeing these games. I don't know how to fix it, Dan, other than I know every week we see calls that you cannot miss with the naked eye. You just can't. You can't miss it with the naked eye, because if we can – I don't want that job. Hell, I couldn't be a ref. I don't want any part of it. But I know this. They probably don't want any part of playing quarterback either, or they don't want any part of doing what you do because your expertise – they're probably better at my job than I'd be at theirs, but I do know this. They're the experts. They get paid the money. Maybe we got to make it a full-time gig, whatever that might be. But you can't miss these simple calls, and if it takes a few extra minutes to get it right, my concern is when replay misses it. If replay says it's right, it's too close to change. If it's right, change it. I don't know the answer, Dan, but we're going to have this until the end of time, and you and I both know it.
Okay, what do you think of our idea of offensive and defensive linemen wear mittens, therefore you can't hold?
Well, mittens sound so soft, right? Can you say tough guy gloves?
Okay,
you know what?
Tough guy
You're
gloves.
You're talking about, there you go, gloves? You mean with like this, Dan, where the four fingers are together and the thumb sits by itself?
Yeah, like Ralphie in Christmas Story. Yeah.
Right, well, okay. But those thumbs, I could still maybe get the thumb like a lobster.
Okay,
And they got to be like fluorescent so we see.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Dan, I'm not sure that's going to help, okay?
Okay.
But I'm with you on holding, but I don't mind if they hold inside, because I got news for you, Dan. If they actually did that, remember how we preach player safety, but we'll play 3 days later on a Thursday like last night? Hey, man, we care about him, the concussion, but we'll see you Thursday because the Cowboys are going to draw a lot of people. Dan, think about now. You think it's rough on quarterbacks now. Imagine not being able to grab Myles Garrett on the inside of his armpits or jersey, that you're trying to fiddle around with it, and he's slinging you back into the corner. Our quarterbacks will be dead if these offensive linemen can't
hold. Well, then
but I'm with you on the fact that so we can see it.
Let
clearer.
Everybody How hold. Can we get a How clip? About this, Sean? Everybody gets to hold. Offense, defensive linemen get to hold.
As long as it's inside as long as it's inside?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah,
I don't have a wrestling match where you got to do it. You can't bear hug them, but within reason, hold inside the shoulders. I don't have a problem. Hey, the more the penalties, the merrier. Why don't we just take off all the gear and play rugby?
If I would have told you 3 months ago that C.J. Stroud and the Texans would be in the hunt to win the division, maybe a playoff team, you would have said what?
Absolutely not. I would have said growth. I had them at 6 wins when the season started, Dan, and if they were fortunate to get a few breaks and win a couple late games, 7, 8 would have been D'Amico Ryans in the Coach of the Year talk. Well, now they're sitting at 6, and if proven, and it's amazing what one guy can do, not just the coach, but on the field too, as the player, to change that, like Joe Burrow did in Cincinnati, to almost feel like when he walks in the building, like C.J. Stroud, you're expected to win now. Now when I'm watching last week, Dan, on that final drive, I was guaranteed. Now, I don't like a fade route to a tight end on 4th and 1, but I almost felt, oh, he's going to go down and score, C.J. Stroud. So I would have said no. Now I'm to the point for the first time in a long time thinking, man, if they're within 1 score and there's 2 minutes left, they got a chance. D'Amico has changed. We hear culture used too much, but he's changed the energy and the accountability in the building. And C.J. Stroud has that feeling. I remember John Elway told me years ago, Dan, we were sitting and having a beer at his golf tournament. I said, John, what is it that you could be having an average game, which he didn't have very often, and then all of a sudden with 220 to go, you're down a score, it just kicks in. And you know what he told me? I thought I'm looking for a scientific answer. He said, Sean, I did it once, I did it a second time, and then everybody just thought, well, we're going to do it. Now, John's got different DNA than the rest of us, but and then they believed in it. And this team now, the buzz here, Dan, every time he has the ball in his hand, he gives you the best chance to succeed. I'm fascinated by the way he's playing, his feet, everything, but it's his ability to get through progressions and have believability that you're begging for as a rookie, and you almost ask for it. He hasn't had to ask for it. It's been heaped upon him, and he's accepted it and played his rear end off. Aside from Jalen Hurts, I'm not watching a more poised quarterback, poised, in the league than the guy you're watching here in Houston. Man alive, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when he actually learns how to play. It's been pretty fascinating watch, but
Let's not forget about Mahomes in there.
I
said poised.
The ability to have poised, right. Listen, I expect Mahomes to be poised. He's been doing it enough. Okay. I'm just talking about the ability where his team, you know, you got to carry him. Most of the time, the run game has not been what you want it to be. You're with a makeshift offensive line. Most of us would be panicked and watching the line. At this stage of his career, the poise that he's showing is a guy that's been in the league as long as Mahomes. So I think the Texans, you got to find that guy and you got to find the coach. When you start with those two, the whole energy of the building changes, especially when you have success. I would have never thought it this way. And now, Dan, I think the loser of this Denver Texans game is going to have a hard time getting in, but the winner is going to be in a real good position to continue and have a chance to win it, especially with the Texans' schedule. And
Sean, guilty of name-dropping there, guys?
Monster.
Throw out the LA.
Hangs out with John Elway.
And he had a beer with Elway, and he got invited to Elway's golf tournament. Okay.
Best friends.
I'm going to throw the flag. Hey, we're throwing the flag today. Another penalty. I'm going to charge you 15.
This is my first penalty on your show.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was out. Yeah. Humble brag. Remember the time when you and I were playing and Kevin James was, there you go. See?
Yeah.
Humble brag.
Yeah, Seton.
I feel like that was more inside holding. I'm going to let it go. That's a solid drop.
Okay.
That's holding on the inside, Sean. You're good.
Okay. All right.
You know what I call it?
I'm going to pick up the flag. We'll pick it up. Yeah,
that's left tackle kicking his left leg out to get a start in the shotgun early. Okay? That's what that is.
That's Seton, a Lane thanks, Johnson. Todd.
Wasn't this the same guy that hung out with Heather Locklear on the beach?
Oh, yeah.
I don't listen. Why brag now? I mean, you know, it's there.
What do you
want me to tell you on Santa Monica? I mean, listen, Dan, when you got it, you just don't have to say anything about it. Plus, that was when I had a full head of hair, flowing locks, and the rest of it. Yeah, the Heather Locklear. But you guys will throw a double flag on me if we talk about that.
No. I respect
you're allowed
that.
To humble brag on that. Yeah,
that's that. You know what? When you said it, and I know you told me the story probably 15 or 20 times,
400 times.
But it's, I mean, that's pretty good. You made out with Heather Locklear.
I didn't say that.
You did, too.
You did. No, I did not.
Did you kiss Heather Locklear?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. What constitutes making out with Heather Locklear?
French kiss.
Okay.
Yeah.
And? Parlez-vous français?
Listen, I can't confirm nor deny back in 1984.
Stop it. Come on.
We had a, you know what, lovely lady.
Yeah.
Fun.
Okay.
We gave 110%. We took it one bite of our Italian food at the time.
Before I let you go, why are the Niners favored in Philadelphia?
I have absolutely no idea. I couldn't tell you, but that's why I guess they built casinos and air-conditioned hotels. When did Philadelphia play last, Dan? When was their last game? Was it Sunday or was it last Sunday, Sunday night? Was it Sunday? When did they play? When did they play last? I don't have
Buffalo?
Any idea. Yeah, there
Buffalo
you go.
Sunday. Okay,
maybe it's the energy exert. I have no idea. On the road across the country playing against Philadelphia, who is the best team in football. Both quarterbacks are in the MVP talk. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a great effort to go in there. It'll be the most hostile environment San Francisco plays in. And I just am curious why the world still doesn't believe that Brock Purdy can play. I just don't know why. Oh, he's on a good team. We make that excuse for every quarterback that is on a good team. That's the object, to be on a good team. Brock Purdy's a good player, and the last time they visited there, we didn't get four quarters at him. I like Philadelphia. I think this is a preview of the NFC Championship
game.
This won't be the last
drafted.
Time they meet.
Sean, it's where you're drafted.
That's right. Hey, if he was the third pick of the draft, Dan,
yeah.
What would we be saying? Ooh, they found their next guy, right?
Yes. Just like, you know, Trey Lance, if he would have been taken where Trey Lance was and Trey Lance the other way around, you know, we'd be like, oh, Trey Lance, maybe down the road he could be a backup quarterback. Dak Prescott, you know, where you're drafted, you're labeled. It's like
the stigma.
You can't
right,
be
Dan?
That good, you know,
right?
Because you weren't drafted.
Experts
high.
Miss.
Yes, they
right.
do.
But those experts miss. They miss a lot of times. And here's a guy now we're talking about, Francis. You're exactly right. If you put him up seven rounds and he was the eighth pick of the draft, we'd be talking about MVP. They found their future. He's a franchise guy. It's almost as if people are waiting for him to fail, because no way the seventh pick of the draft can be this good.
Yeah.
Or the seventh round pick, the last pick of the draft. So I think this is going to be a hell of a game. Maybe it's the game of the weekend, but this won't be the last time I don't think we see these two in the NFC playoffs.
Good to talk to you. Have a good weekend, buddy.
It's great to talk to you too, and I'll never let you know about Heather Locklear.
You already have let me know. You
400 times
already told me.
I'll text you with the real information.
Yeah, no,
there
you already. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback.
Guys,
see you, buddy. Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. You know, Sean, get a couple beers in him, then he'd tell me the Heather Locklear story, and then a couple of weeks later, be like, "Hey, did I ever tell you about Heather Locklear?" I go, "Yeah, he's still telling me." I'd be like, "All right, good for you." I mean, that's not bad. I don't know if you keep that one under wraps, but he did. He doesn't anymore. All right, it is December, and that's the music theme today on lead singers who died in the month of December. Also, why can't the Seahawks keep those uniforms that we saw? We'll have that for you coming up, and our play of the day next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Dynasty the King. King.
What's good, y'all? It's your main man, Michael Smith, esteemed NFL analyst and certified fantasy football legend. Allow me to present to you your new favorite fantasy football podcast, The Dynasty Exchange, hosted by my first-round rookie picks, Davis, Dylan, and Josh, three guys who most definitely know their stuff. They're the co-commissioners of the coolest and most cutthroat dynasty league you'll ever come across, the Yacht Club. And now they're the co-hosts of the most elite. Now make that the definitive dynasty program in the game. It's dedicated to only the most devoted of diehards, the guys like me who can't stay off Sleeper and KTC. And trust me, you won't regret making the choice to follow their dynasty advice. Listen to Michael Smith Presents The Dynasty Exchange on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. and it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack
you,
one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's December. It's lead singers who died in the month of December. Great way to start out the month of December. We were just wondering about this with the transfer portal. Bo Jackson, Allen Iverson, NIL. You throw that in there too. So I put Allen Iverson in there. I put Bo Jackson in there. I put Michael Vick in there. Deion Sanders. How about that? That Herschel Walker, you could put, if he was NIL, like Herschel was famous. Yes, Marv.
Herschel, you took my answer, yep.
Yeah. If you put him in there, man. I don't know how long they stay at their schools. You know, because Mike was at Virginia Tech. Let's bring in Michael Vick, who joins us now. How do you think you would do in that NIL world there, Mike?
Morning, Dan. That's a great segue into this interview. it really got my brain racing thinking about it. I would have been one of the top tier guys to get paid from NIL, hands down. North of a million.
Starting salary.
What's that?
That would have been your starting negotiating point is $1 million. You'd be worth a lot more than $1 million.
Yeah, I think, I was about to come back to school just to be with my teammates because I miss them so much. So I can only imagine if $100,000 or $500,000 was at my discretion through NIL, oh, I would have came back to school I would have definitely gave Virginia Tech a discount for sure.
Do you remember, you're 5 years younger than Allen Iverson? Is that?
5 years, yeah, 4 years younger.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember him playing football in the Virginia Beach area? Because he was a pretty good quarterback by all accounts.
Yeah, I do. I remember not so vividly because he was a little older. I remember him going against my cousin Aaron Brooks. I think Aaron's sophomore year because I don't think Adam played his junior year and senior year. So I caught him early, but I really wasn't paying attention to him as much as I was paying attention to Aaron. But I did see that he had the potential to become a good football player, really good football player if that's what he wanted.
You think he could have played in the NFL?
Yes, I do think he could have played in the NFL. Quarterback, I don't know. It depends on, you know, how committed he would have been. But, you know, if he's a point guard, you know, same responsibilities. But, you know, probably in his time, he might have been a little bit before his time. He might have got switched to a different position because he was so athletic. And but if he would have stayed at the quarterback position, I think he would have had a chance of playing in the NFL if he would have, you know, took it serious.
So Michael Vick joining us, four-time Pro Bowl, number one overall pick by the Falcons, and Fox NFL analyst, recently named to Madden's 25th anniversary team. How would you compare your running style to Barry Sanders?
The exact same running style. Barry was one of the guys I idolized growing up. I don't think I missed the Thanksgiving when it was Detroit and Green Bay playing on national television, as long as I was able to, you know, turn that down on my TV and get the TV to come in with a clear picture growing up. You know, sometimes you had cable, sometimes you didn't. But you know, for the most part, it was always on regular TV, and I was able to catch Berg and idolize him. So, you know, Berg and Walter Payton was my two favorite runners of all time. And so I wanted to be a running back. I actually started out as a running back.
But could you have been an NFL running back in your mind, like an every down back?
Yeah, for sure. I think I had the stature for it. Being 6 feet, 215 pounds, I'd have been considered a big back, but explosive. I think my biggest challenge would have been taking on linebackers, and having to protect because, you know, that becomes paramount as a running back, especially as you come in young and as you mature. I put a lot of responsibilities on the guys that I played with, Ward Dunn, LeSean McCoy, in terms of, you know, the passing game and understanding protections, because if a running back don't know who to block, you'll get hit every down. So I think, you know, learning that part of it would have been a challenge, but I think I would have been able to be a really good running back if I had stuck to it.
Who was the most talented quarterback of all time?
I would say the most talented, I'm always put Peyton Manning at the top of the list because Peyton was just phenomenal. And, you know, even when you're talking about athletes, you know, Peyton might not have moved around, but the way he threw the football with accuracy, I think, you know, only certain guys can do that. Only a handful of guys came through that could make the throws and, you know, to have the competence that he had at the quarterback position. But I think most athletic and, you know, when you bottle everybody, you know, you think about everybody's talents, I think you got to go with Charlie Ward. I just seen the legend of Charlie Ward a couple of days ago, and I just watching him, even though he was a little small in stature, he played really big. And so I think the things that he was able to do, I think makes him one of the most gifted quarterback to ever line up behind a center next to me.
Of course. I might put Randall Cunningham in there as far as talent goes.
Yeah, I put Randall in there, but I mean, I would have to put myself at the top of that list. And there's been some great quarterbacks to come and go. And don't get me wrong, these guys were extremely talented. But, you know, like I said, I played running back. That was merged into becoming a, you know, quarterback. You know, Steve Young was my favorite quarterback growing up, and Barry Sanders was one of my favorite running backs. So you close your eyes and you merge that together and picture that behind the center, you get me. And, you know, I was able to put that on display. So I would say I would put me in at the top of that list as well.
Okay, but then looking back on that, most talented quarterback of all time, but you didn't get everything that you needed to get. Like, if there was one thing that you go, if I only would have done that,
yeah,
I would have gotten the most out of my potential.
I think if I would have, took the onus of, you know, calling my own plays or just being ahead of, you know, especially early in my career. When I think back on my career, I look and feel like, you know, there were times where I could have helped my coordinator out even more. You know, I think if I would have spent more time on Tuesdays when the coaches are game planning and putting it all together and trying to figure out how to beat the opponent and what it's going to take for our guys to be successful versus, you know, the opposition that week. If I would have spent a little time on Tuesdays with the coaches, and I've heard stories about other quarterbacks doing this, Drew Brees and John Elway and Dan Reeves told me John used to come in on Tuesdays and just kind of sit in and just listen to the game plan. And so if I would have been more involved in that part, I think I progressed quicker as a passer, regardless if I – was a super athletic, talented quarterback in the West Coast system in 2004. I mean, I made the Pro Bowl. I made it work. We went to an NFC Championship game. Imagine if I had just put a little bit more into it.
Yeah.
You know, that's Super Bowl and beyond. So no excuses. I wish I could, you know, for those reasons, go back in time and change some of those things.
Talking to Michael Vick, he's named to the Madden 25th anniversary team. Do you have a better understanding of who Dak Prescott is right now or the Dallas Cowboys are right now?
Well, I feel like I've seen Dak enough to know that, you know, Dak performs in big moments and he understands, you know, what it takes to be successful in this league. You don't make it to 8 years, you know, being mediocre or being pedestrian. I feel like I know exactly what the Dallas Cowboys are right now. When you look at them offensively, they're starting to gel, getting better. Mike McCarthy is the play caller. And I said this early in the year, you got to be patient with situations like this, because a lot of people was quick to write off Dallas and, you know, it wasn't playing competition. And, you know, I don't listen to that. That's fluff to me, because the National Football League, it's just so hard to win on a week-in and week-out basis. So, you know, the offense is gelling, and you see they're scoring points at a high rate. And then you got a defense that's, you know, performing with, you know, high-level players. And, you know, you got, you know, guys stepping up and doing their job, you know, all across the board, from front to back. So I feel like I know more about the Cowboys. I feel like they can compete with Philadelphia, and they can compete with San Fran now. Just got to keep that ball rolling.
Yeah, but there's certain teams, though, Mike, that we go, I don't care what you do during the regular season. Show me in January.
Yeah.
And Dallas is a team that we say, show me in January. And I don't have any confidence in them. It's 30 years where they just somehow fail.
Yeah, Dan, that's fair. That's a fair assessment to say, you know, the regular season can be somewhat irrelevant. I think the regular season is just, it's practice reps. You know, it's competition. It gets you ready for, you know, the postseason, which is most important. And, you know, there are some teams where we say, look, you know, you've done a great job throughout the, okay, now it's time to take it one step further. And being honest, Dallas, they're one of those teams. And if you ask every single guy in the locker room, they'll probably tell you the same exact things that we're talking about now and discussing. The next step, the next level is where we got to excel, playoffs and beyond. And so, you know, they would be doing themselves a disservice if they didn't believe that wholeheartedly. So I expect them to take that next step. After watching them last night, I'm excited about them facing the 49ers or facing Philadelphia, because they'll probably face the 49ers first before Philadelphia. I think Philly will get that first round bye. So who knows how to be configured, but, you know, they'll have an opportunity.
Okay. Be honest. You're 43, I think. 43?
43.
Would you have been a better quarterback the last 3 weeks for the Jets than the situation that they have right now?
Yeah. I'm being honest. I mean, like, there were times over the last year, year and a half, where I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to go down to this local field, put my ankle weights on and put my weighted vest on like I used to, and get that mojo back and go help my squad out. But then, you know, that's in the frontal lobe, you know. But then, you know, back here, I'm like, you know what? It's best to just play it safe and, you know, you can continue to commentate and can give your analysis on what you think should happen. But, you know, for the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers is coming back. You know, it's a reason to be optimistic in the future. I just hate to see us go out there every week and, you know, our defense giving it everything they got. And those guys get tired, man. They fatigue out. And,
yeah,
you know, a lot of those games are lost in the third and fourth quarter, and you can only give us so much. So, yeah, I wish they would have went and grabbed the Josh Dobbs. Or, you know, I really think Carson Wentz would have been able to give him some instant offense. We kind of missed the boat on some guys, but, hey, that's how it goes.
How many starting quarterbacks can outrun you right now?
Lamar, probably Jalen.
Kyler?
Patrick might give me a run for my money. Patrick got deceptive speed, you know. Things that make it's probably about six or seven guys that can outrun me.
Okay.
In the league right now. You know, I take off running right now, and if I don't stretch, you know, which is, you know, something I definitely didn't take serious when I played. I pulled my hamstring really, really quick. I pulled my hamstring doing Run Rich Run 2 years back to back, and I had to go on a hiatus for that. I was actually having a good time doing it in preparation.
Mike,
but it's about five or six guys out there. I'm probably the sixth fastest quarterback in the league right now.
It came too easy for you.
No, it did. Gift and a curse, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, being optimistic every week, you know, it's like I know, you know, on a consistent basis, I'm going to dominate. Like, as long as I was ready mentally, I could go dominate. And so, you know, sometimes I felt like I could have took that a step further in terms of preparation, because, I mean, you can prepare, but you can never really be overly prepared. I think, you know, you prepare and then you simplify. And that's just communication with your coaches and you know, them being on the same page with offensive coordinator, y'all understanding one another. It's like, you know, coach, if all else fails, let's resort to this. And if all else fails, I'm running 2 minutes really well. And I seen that in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, that was a great experience. Whenever things was a little rocky, you know, it was a little turbulent, then Ben would just go no huddle and just, you know, get a rhythm going and start calling the plays that he liked. And that's professionalism at its finest.
Yeah, yeah. If I put you and Deion and Bo Jackson in the 40, who wins it in your prime?
Man, those guys, oh, man, I think Deion wins.
Okay.
I think Deion wins, man. I take nothing away from Bo. Bo was explosive and powerful and strong lower body, and I had the same. But I did run a 4.25 twice. But Deion ran a 4.1. I can't see that, man. I got to, you know, he's the GOAT for a reason, you know, at his position. And so I would give the edge to Deion Sanders.
I wonder about Tyreek Hill, though. Like, Tyreek Hill's got different speed.
Yeah, so Deion Sanders, Tyreek Hill, and DeSean Jackson, I would pay to see that any day.
In their prime.
In their primes. Oh, my God, that would have been amazing.
Hey, great to talk to you as always, and thanks for joining us, Michael.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me.
Michael Vick, Fox NFL kickoff analyst, four-time Pro Bowler, and recently named to Madden's 25th anniversary team. You didn't ask for it, but you're going to get it. It's Marge Simpson or Todd Fritz after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. We spoke to Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell 2 days ago. They have a show called Monarch, Legacy of Monsters on Apple TV+. New episodes coming out every Friday. And here is how we started the interview. It's Kurt and Wyatt Russell joining us, and they have a new series on Apple TV+. It is called Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. New episodes coming out every Friday. All right, let me know how this sounds to you guys. I'm going to be the voiceover guy if you need one, even if you don't need one. Following the thunderous battle between Godzilla and the Titans that leveled San Francisco and the shocking revelation that monsters are real, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, tracks two siblings following in their father's footsteps who uncover their family's connection to the secret organization known as Monarch. What do you think?
Not bad.
That's good.
I would slow it down a touch. But that's
oh, you would have. Oh, okay. For, okay.
Yeah, because the faster you go, the more less you give a shit, obviously. So.
It was just for time. That was all. I was worried about you guys.
That was a nice 30 seconds.
Yeah. I like that, in a world. Like, I always wanted to be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a world. That was that Don LaFontaine?
One man.
Yeah. I always loved that. Wyatt, when you saw Kurt play Herb Brooks.
You know, I nobody saw the Mel Brooks thing.
And you were great. You were great. Not as good as Albert Brooks, but you were great. Okay. When you saw him play Herb Brooks, did you ever have a coach who was like that?
No, I wish I did, to be honest. I mean, Herb was a legendary coach. My dad, I think he said before he can talk to it better, was doing his father, Bing, who was a lot like Herb, but it was in the baseball world. I think the better, for me, I was a little distant from the process because I was playing at the time. And there was some fun stuff, actually. He would come out and practice with us, do some skating around, watch us interact, and there was a lot from the film, and Gavin O'Connor, the director as well, would come some of the games, be in the locker room, so there was a little bit of overlap, but more of what was I guess a testament to how good he was in that film was when Herb's grandkids saw the movie, they thought they were looking at Grandad.
It was Wyatt's first year up there playing playing junior hockey in Canada, and they came to me and they said the beginning of the movie is young Herb. Do you think Wyatt would do it? He said, don't even ask him. he's not here working movies. He's here trying to earn a job on these teams and move forward in hockey. So yeah. Don't bother.
Would you have taken him up on the offer if they asked you, Wyatt?
No, they did.
No, they did.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, we had a good, it was the second year. We had a good team. We ended up second in Canada that year, finishing second in nationals, and we had a really good team, and that my career path was hockey. So it was like, this was a very important time. And we did have a couple players actually leave the team to go be in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted to come back when the movie was done and be on the team again. And it was like, no way, dude, sorry. You left this team to go join a different one. And it doesn't matter that it was a movie. It wasn't our team. So it was a little bit of a thing, because it was such a big deal in Vancouver at the time. They'd getting a lot of hockey players, and they were paying these guys money that they hadn't been paid before. So it was fun. Sometimes we'd play, we'd have a game in like Abbotsford, and they shot at Abbotsford right after we'd play. So we'd have like the crew in the stands, and then we'd end the game, and then my dad would come to work on the same ice that I just played on. That was kind of fun.
They helped him find a lot of the locations. Actually, I turned that movie down quite a few times because it was relatively uninteresting in the form that it was in. But I was up there, because Wyatt was playing hockey there. I was going to be playing hockey there for a number of years.
Wow.
And so I knew all the ranks that they could, possibly use in the time of year that would work and whatnot. So ended up doing the movie because Gavin O'Connor and I had great conversations about having hockey players play the characters in the movie. Sports movies are tough. They're really tough. I've never done a baseball one. It depends on the story. And really, generally, their sports stories are written by fans. They're not written by players. And there's a completely different mindset coming out of the players, from the players' point of view, than there is a fan's point of view. And, very few are made by people who either played the game or played some high level or professional level of the game. And those are usually much better.
How many takes for that speech? How many takes did you need?
It's interesting. There's a lot of rewriting there. Not that many. Had a couple cameras rolling, and Yeah, the speech. That's right. I forgot about that. I had the opportunity to speak with Herb before that. So I felt very good about the fact that when the players on the team saw that movie, they did refer to the speech and say, how did you know that? You know, because I'd spoken with Herb. The speech was quite different, in fact, before we actually filmed it. And I don't know. You know, we did like a normal amount, 3 or 4 takes. And I must say there was one line in it that it came to me at one time, which was, it's like those line reading things, which you never think about. But this is your time. That was sort of the impetus of the speech. And I was just looking at those guys and I just said, this is your time. You know, it's not their time anymore. It's your time. And that became what came out of that pregame speech. My favorite story that would never, which I can't tell it here either, I suppose, but was not that speech, but the speech that Herb gave. I should say the speech that Herb didn't give for the last game after they beat the Russians. They had to play Finland. And I think it was Finland that they had to beat for the gold.
You can tell the story.
Okay. Well, anyway, from what it was, is Herb said nothing, came into the room, said nothing, started to walk out of the room, got to the door, turned around, and he said, if you lose this game, you'll take it to your grave. And he turned around and walked out. I wanted to shoot that and have no sound of my voice, but, you know, have Herb already narrating the ending of the movie, but you can read his lips.
That would have been awesome in the credits.
I think it would have been great, yeah.
What do you think when you see Slapshot?
Slapshot was like, wasn't as inaccurate as people might think it would be.
There's an amazing story about that. Slapshot was written by a woman whose brother was in the Portland Mavericks locker room. I think he was a player on the team. Can't remember because this is a long time ago.
And the Portland Mavericks were a team.
That was the template. The Portland Mavericks, which my dad owned, and it's Batter Bastards of Baseball is a documentary you can see if you have it on Netflix that is about that team. It was the most successful minor league team in the history of the game. It was actually a very interesting situation. And he was on that team. A lot of that was derived from his experience with the Portland Mavericks, which I guess he shared with his sister.
Wow. But you guys were all in, like, believable? I mean, the fact that Paul Newman took that job, like, I'm just going, wow.
Love Slapshot. Love Slapshot.
That wasn't as, like, Ogie Oglethorpe was, like, based off of a real person.
Yeah.
especially back in the 70s, like, that was not, I mean, obviously, there was it was caricaturized, but it wasn't that far off.
Yeah. That's a blast of a movie. I mean, you can't. Come on, there's too much great stuff in that. That's fabulous.
Monarch Legacy of Monsters on Apple TV Plus. So summarize this. What have we missed so far, and where are we headed with this?
Well, you go. You're better at explaining.
All the movies have a Godzilla lore, of course, and this is connected to that, but this is much more about the people who are now dealing with this, with the reality that monsters are in and amongst us, and we have to live with them and try to figure out a way. What is it we're going to do? So this monarch was created back in the late 40s and early 50s by three people, and the character that Wyatt and I play was sort of the guy who was coming in from the military side, and he was the one who needed to sort of become a believer, as it were. Company Monarch grew, but then fell apart and became something very different. This story is about the mystery of those people and how it happened, and the fact that what you're looking at here is what are these monsters? What they are real? They're not dinosaurs. Where do they come from? Why is it we can't see them? They're very, very mysterious in and amongst themselves, and so it deals with that. It's all about this family. Finding out their history, their history having to do with this, and it goes back and forth from the 50s up to 2014, 2015, and that's when I play this character Lee Shaw. Wyatt plays him all through the 50s.
Do you believe in monsters?
I believe in Godzilla. You know, there's human monsters and there's animal monsters. That's kind of a lot of what's behind what we're doing here.
My guys that I work with loved the movie Used Cars. Yeah,
my favorite movie.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's like it's so. I mean, there's I can quote every line from the movie. Used Cars has come up like on this little press tour we were doing like 100 times because it was Bob Zemeckis' second movie. It was my favorite movie of his. It's the closest to his humor, to my dad's humor that I know. It's just everything about that movie to me is perfect.
Were you a used car salesman in Arizona?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of my. The most, you know, like character wise, like I had fun every day. I mean, it was just a blast. I mean, and those guys, Bob Zemeckis and Bob Gale, and all the cast guys too, and when the people that were in the show, Deborah, it was just one of those things. I learned a lot about comedy and how comedy is made by the people who were involved with that show. I didn't really know that much about comedy. You know, you'd read a script and you go play it, but these guys created comedy. They were fantastic. They're, you know, they went on to have obviously a lot of great careers and stuff too.
Yeah. It's one thing to see something written, but then you got to kind of capture what's written and make it work. And that's the genius.
This was like 1979, 1980 period. So there was a lot of the Second City, people, you know, that seemed to be the core of where a lot of these people were coming from. John Candy was supposed to be in that movie. And he actually ended up taking his agent, took two jobs at one time.
Wyatt, would you recreate Used Cars with dad's permission?
What's that?
Me?
Yeah.
I'd do it in a different way, but I know what I'd do.
I know what I'd do
because I think there's a lot of fun to be had if Rudy was, like we talked about last night, running for, he actually did become a senator and what happened. And I have a dream about you.
Kurt, you produce this.
It won't take too long.
This would be great. Get your dad.
It would. I agree. Yeah. Get someone, call somebody at Netflix, Dan. You know.
Get mom. Yeah, I'll call Sandler.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to get a hold of Bob Zemeckis.
Before we run out of time, I have questions for you.
Okay.
First of all, I have a great. This is tomorrow's show. This is today's show, but I was watching yesterday's show. Great statue doesn't have a Hall of Fame. Dustin Brown of the LA Kings.
Oh,
he's a statue outside Staples Center. Not going to be in the Hall of Fame. Not a Hall of Famer.
Why didn't you guys know that? I can't know everything.
I only came up with. Was there at one time a statue of Sylvester Stallone as Rocky Balboa in front of a stadium?
I think it's just on the steps.
Just on the steps?
Yeah.
There never was one. There was never another one.
I don't think that it's outside of any of their venues. And then I think Sylvester. I think there's two of those statues. I think he had one at his house in Hollywood. he does. It was out by the pool. He's got his statue there. I'm not joking.
I'll tell him you said that and he'll get one.
How would Goldie feel if you said, I'd like to have a statue outside of the home, honey?
She'd divorce me even though they're not married.
Okay, what other question do you have? What? Anything else?
So we always talk about, we always have the debate of who should be in the Hall of Fame or not. We talk about like ad nauseum.
Okay.
And more interesting one that we're always like, God, should this person be in the Hall of Fame or not is golf. The golf Hall of Fame is a hard one. And the real one is like Fred Couples. He's got one major, but only, I think, 15 wins. Yeah. And it's like, is that a Hall of Fame golf career?
Well, what is the criteria when it comes to numbers versus the reason for fame?
I think it's like,
and he had a lot of reason for fame.
You could win one Super Bowl. Like Freddie won one Super Bowl. He won the Masters. And is that enough to get into the Hall? Now, you can also do contributions to the game as well. He's been on the senior tour, the champions tour, the longevity part of that.
If you look into the future of golf, that's going to open up a lot of guys. A lot of guys to the Hall of Fame. Well, what about Miguel Cabrera?
No, I think what's going to happen, though, Kurt, is because of LIV Tour, these guys might not be playing in majors. So guys that would be having a Hall of Fame career are just going to be financially compensated, and they're not going to have the majors there.
Or will you take into consideration the fact that they win 40-whatevers
No.
around the world? Right. You know,
on live tour? No. But you guys should do a podcast.
If the live tour, hold on. If the live tour,
how would you guys do as a podcast? Do you think you guys could just sports? Could you put up with each other?
We don't have time in the day.
Oh God, you're actors.
Actually, that's not true. All we do, we just sit around and do nothing.
You're actors. You got time.
It's so true. But if the live tour, if John Rahm goes to the live tour for real, and they change the rules and they change it to a 4-day turn, because that's the big sticking point. Put it, make it 4 days. Don't do the weird shotgun start thing.
Yeah.
And then they start being able to compete for the world golf rankings. Then that changes that.
I'd like to know what the story is behind live / PGA, because, you know, I can do a little conspiracy theory on that one. Like, you know, in the old days of the AFL and the NFL, when the AFL was created, you know, that was a terrible, terrible thing. Who's going to go over there and all of that? You know, they became what they became. And then Namath, he should be in the Hall of Fame for what he, of course, because of what he did. He brought two leagues together.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen with LIV and the PGA? Was that always the intent?
I keep thinking that eventually that you got to bring it together. That they have to merge.
Well, if you're you know, sitting around with Greg Norman 7-8 years ago, you think that conversation might have been had by a few people?
Well, he brought it up.
I wouldn't say no.
He brought it up 30 years ago. This idea.
Yeah, so he'd been thinking about it for a while.
How's the best way to do this?
Yeah. And why not create two? And then we'll have a competition, and then eventually it'll be the PGA, but it will be a lot larger than it was.
You guys don't want to talk movies. You want to talk sports, right?
No. We never talk movies. No, we talk about this stuff so you can go make them.
But Wyatt, have you told your dad that I've been in 20 Sandler movies? Just, I don't know if you checked out. I mean, maybe you know that. I don't know, Kurt, but I've been in 20.
I've said to my dad, I'm like, I think Dan would be good in like a real drama.
Yeah.
Like you need to get in like a real drama where you could use your low timbre.
Wait a minute. What the f***? Why didn't I get in this?
By the way, you should have been announcing a game while Godzilla gets
destroyed.
You know, stadium. Dan, we talked about this, but there's enough monsters already. So,
okay. I can be something less than a monster.
Oh, I see. You want to play a human. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kurt, it's great to have you on. We've always appreciated Wyatt, and especially when he showed up in person with flip-flops, a parka, a winter hat, and I went, we're in Los Angeles. What are you doing?
It was cold.
You had flip-flops on.
He's barefoot right now.
I've got eczema.
All right. Whenever there's a real tough topic and I need to be the guy who comes and settles it, then you guys let me know. We'd love to have you come back on.
Perfect. Deal.
Once again, it's called Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, Apple TV+. New episodes airing every Friday.
Hey, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good for you. We'll good for you. Who are those 7%? We're going after you. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, all right, Dan. Good talking to you, Dan. See you.
Kurt and Wyatt Russell. A lot of fun talking to them. We'll take a break. If you're watching on Peacock, we have a feast. Boy, this is really impressive. The folks from Portland, Maine, from Eventide, came down to do Meat Friday. That's actually Seafood Friday. We'll have that for you coming up. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store for Monday after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.